Engaging. Thorough. Cutting edge with essential information. Unbiased and unfiltered. When it comes to the issues in your community, WZND is here. With detailed investigative pieces from the award-winning WZND news team, WZND's Bird's Eye View gives you in-depth information on the issues you need to know about. Recognized for excellence in long-form news by the Illinois Broadcasters Association, College Broadcasters Incorporated, and the Society of Professional Journalists, the Bird's Eye View starts now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the September edition of Bird's Eye View. This month we've chosen to take a deep look into climate change. Climate change is perhaps the most critical issue that humanity has faced to date, and time is of the essence to solve it. We believe it's important to educate ourselves and others about the impacts that climate change has had on everyone, including in ways that may not come to mind at first. We'll go over things you as an individual can do to help and much more in today's show. I'm the producer of Bird's Eye View, Jack Poleznik.
And I'm the guest co-host, Gavin Broderick.
And I'm Ritz Navarro-Lopez.
How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm just looking forward to sharing what we've been working on.
I'm also really excited to unpack everything because I feel like we've just learned so much throughout the month with this show. So I'm just super excited.
Well, we've got a packed show for you all today, all about climate change. We'll start off the show with some statistics and an analysis of a recent climate report. Then we'll look at climate racism to understand how and who climate change affects. Following that, we'll focus on natural disasters and what they mean for us here in the Midwest. Then we'll talk about the economic impact of climate change. And finally, we'll talk about how animals are impacted and what you can do to help the environment. We have a great show prepared for you, so stick around. You're listening to 103.3 WZND, Bird's Eye View.
The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're tuning in to the Bird's Eye View. If you're just tuning in, today's show is all about climate change. And as everyone knows, climate change is consistently becoming an important issue, and more increasingly, we see our politicians advocate and some against it. But regardless, scientists have been ringing the alarms for decades now.
And most recently, an intergovernmental panel addressed the issue of climate change in the IPCC report. This panel looks at the state of scientific, technical, and socioeconomic knowledge on climate change, its impacts and future risks, and options for reducing the rate at which climate change is taking place. Jack, you took a closer look at the IPCC report. Can you talk a little more about it in a way a common person could understand?
Yes, well, the IPCC report is a study released by the UN that comes out every 8 years. This past August, we got a portion of the 2022 report, and it paints a clear picture of the state of our climate. We spoke with Dr. Trent Ford, the Illinois State climatologist and an Illinois State University graduate, about what his biggest takeaways from the report are and what the future may hold.
The first part of the sixth assessment report of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, or IPCC report for short, was published last month. These large reports have been put out every 8 years since 1988, with the final portion of this newest report to be released next year. And to say things in the recent release look grim would be a massive understatement. The report warns of methane levels continuing to soar upwards, increasing severity in natural disasters, stronger heat waves, and much more. But it's not just the facts being given that are significant in this report, it's also how they're being delivered. Dr. Trent Ford is the current Illinois State climatologist. He says one of the biggest messages sent in the IPCC report is that there's much more confidence and different language being used, supporting the idea that climate change is linked to more severe weather.
What I saw as one of the biggest changes is the language behind that connection. The last 8 years of research and work and communication from climate scientists, as well as many other scientists around the world, is really solidifying that, codifying that kind of connection between extreme weather and climate change. And now it is, those connections are stronger than ever, and the IPCC, its language is strong.
Another big takeaway for Dr. Ford is what new greenhouse gas emission models are showing us. It appears that without unprecedented global changes, we will still surpass the 2 degrees Celsius warming threshold this century. It's at this threshold where an acceleration of the effects of climate change are expected to occur.
when we get beyond 2 degrees Celsius, I hate the term tipping point because it just makes it seem like all is lost. It's then that's really a threshold that beyond which we really see an acceleration of a lot of the impacts of climate change. Even under this doable but challenging scenario of reaching net zero not too long from now and really curbing our carbon dioxide emissions, we still surpass that 2 degree threshold.
While many challenges clearly stand in the way of humanity in the fight against climate change, there's one that stands particularly tall, talking about it. It's a hard subject to discuss, and it's a sensitive issue for many, but Ford says making an active effort to talk about it with those around you can make a difference.
Talk about it with the people who are around you. It is a major issue that's affecting all of us. And so talking about that with your family, just talking about what are the kinds of things you're seeing? What are you worried about, you know, about climate change?
If you would like to read the IPCC report for yourself, the entire copy is available online on the IPCC website. Dr. Ford recommends reading the summary for policymakers, as it is a 40-page summary that is considerably shorter than the full document. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Jack Polesnik.
Something else Dr. Ford had said really hones in on just how important the language in the report is. He made an example about how if you put a bunch of scientists in a room together and wanted them to make a definitive statement, it would be really hard to do because science can have a degree of uncertainty to it. So for the IPCC report to use such strong, steadfast language is really a big deal.
One recurring theme throughout the show is this idea that was also mentioned by Dr. Ford is that all is lost. There is a sense of impending doom that we think is coming when it comes to trying to reverse these issues.
Yeah, and something that we will visit a few times throughout the show is that dread. I think another aspect that contributes to that is feeling the impending doom and just feeling so helpless because of how great our carbon emissions have become, like Dr. Ford explained. But while some of us wait for this impending doom, there are communities who have already been facing the challenges that come from the effects of climate change.
And that brings us to our next topic, climate racism. We will hear once again from Dr. Trent Ford, who has some extensive knowledge on climate racism, and our very own news director, Cameron Kelly, breaks down how marginalized communities are affected.
Climate change has a number of wide-ranging but also diverse impacts. Experiencing climate change and measuring it are two different experiences. Trent Ford, who is a climatologist at Illinois State Water Survey, says many aspects such as economic and financial sustainability make people vulnerable in society.
Without climate change, flooding or extreme heat, exposure to that, the impacts would be borne disproportionately on minority communities. So, of course, what we're seeing with climate change is that as those hazards, the likelihood of those hazards like heat, like flooding, like vector-borne disease and things like that, as those hazards are increasing in their frequency, in their intensity, is, of course, disproportionately impacting those same communities.
Ford explains that marginalized communities could benefit from spaces that could be used during high precipitation.
Green space is one thing we often talk about, green infrastructure means, you know, an urban canopy, trees, areas where folks can, for example, cool down on a very hot afternoon if they don't have access to air conditioning. Green space in the way of rain gardens that help to tamp down on that surge of flood water when we get extreme precipitation.
Topics like climate change do not always affect those who are studying the topic. Ford says that he is hopeful that marginalized people will get the same resources as the majority, but he also recognizes his position in society.
I am an optimist, but I'm also white and a male, so I have lived with that privilege my whole life, so it's easy for me to be an optimist about things.
Christopher Tessum, an assistant professor of civic and environmental engineering at the University of Illinois, expresses that climate racism comes from the long history of America. He says that racism is rooted in many areas of life.
The one that I mainly study is about air pollution. So, you know, people of color tend to be exposed to more air pollution than white people are. And that can be traced back to, you know, kind of overtly racist housing policy from earlier in time, but also kind of ongoing.
Ford says in order for change, people who have not had a voice should be uplifted, even if there's pushback. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Cameron Kelly.
I think one of the most important things when discussing climate racism is asking what is being done for these marginalized communities. If they are first being affected, I wonder how they get those resources.
and for those who study climate change, how or are they advocating for anything to be done? Dr. Ford mentioned knowing the difference between studying and being affected by climate change as those two different things. So I definitely think that those green spaces would be nice to see both of our politicians and scientists working together to implement them in marginalized communities while helping explain to them, you know, what this is and how we can help them. And I know when Cameron mentioned this topic, we discussed, you know, what are the resources marginalized communities are allotted, and how those resources can be allotted to bigger issues, but that does not or should not take away from helping fund programs to address climate change and how it is impacting their communities.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of it starts with the very foundation of how our country is run. Simply put, these marginalized communities are at a myriad of disadvantages from the get-go in so many ways that have an immediate impact on them. So when you talk about an issue like climate change, which is often perceived as a future issue, it gets much less attention and funding for programs that can help the issue. Coming up after the break, we are going to take a look at natural disasters and the economic effect of climate change. Be sure to stick around. You're listening to The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
More Bird's Eye View is here now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back to the Bird's Eye View. If you are just tuning in, we are focusing this show on climate change. So far, we have discussed a recent IPCC report and what that means, along with climate racism and how marginalized communities are affected.
And with these topics, we've examined both our clearly major issues that our country and the world face in regards to climate change. But the average person probably wouldn't read the IPCC report, and climate racism often flies under the radar, even though it's a serious, real issue. Something that people do notice, though, is severe weather.
Yes, and like you just said, one of the most common things we associate with climate change is natural disasters. And according to the United Nations, disasters happen 3 times more often today than in the 1970s and the 1980s. And the common ones that we'll think of are floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes. However, here in central Illinois, many of us don't think of natural disasters affecting us. I spoke with ISU professor Catherine O'Reilly on the reality of natural disasters and what that means for us, even here in Bloomington Normal.
Climate change is gradually becoming a topic of conversation. Some of the most common examples of climate change include natural disasters. From historic storms across the globe to hurricanes impacting our shores, we know natural disasters are occurring. Illinois State University Professor of Geology Catherine O'Reilly says there is a lot of evidence that they are happening more often. Specifically, we are seeing hurricanes and storms increasing, even here in central Illinois.
As you might recall, this summer we had a really tremendous amount of rain, a very intense storm event here, right here in town, and that led to really large flooding. And that's exactly the kind of thing that we should start to see happening much more often.
According to O'Reilly, weather is very variable, but using past data, we are able to look at the likelihood of events occurring. Using this data, when unlikely events happen more frequently, scientists will look at other things that would attribute these kinds of shifts and how they may associate with climate change. O'Reilly says, although natural disasters seem far away, they continue to impact us in different ways.
So a lot of times natural disasters seem like really isolated events. They're happening far away. But one of the things that we all know about the world today is it's gotten so much smaller and everything is like so tightly connected.
She says, although events like hurricanes in Louisiana do not seem like a threat to us, they can impact the things we care about, like goods, services, and even our traveling to certain places.
So even though it might seem like Louisiana is really far away, if you like to eat shrimp or, you know, you like to have certain kinds of goods or services or travel to certain places, those things that you like might not be as available to you anymore.
According to O'Reilly, these trickling effects ripple out throughout the rest of our economy, and it impacts the things that we can buy along with the things that we can do. It's clear climate change and natural disasters mean more than just a little change in the weather. For WZND and the Bird's Eye View, I'm Maritza Navar-Lopez.
Another thing I discussed with O'Reilly extensively was this concept of dread. We get so caught up in thinking that there's nothing left for us to do, something that Jack had discussed with Dr. Trent Ford early in the show. But she assured that although we don't feel like we can save the world, there are things that we can do to create and incite more change. From discussing with your local governments to calling your state representatives, she emphasized the importance of not feeling helpless.
And I think that's a great point, Maritza. You know, climate dread, if you will, is something that can be destructive for one's mental health. A 2020 study by Frontiers in Psychiatry describes how involvement in a natural disaster can increase anxiety and give people post-traumatic stress. The idea that all is lost, as we talked about earlier, can also cut motivation down and cause or worsen depression. Climate change truly affects everything and everyone.
And at the end of that piece, we heard about the trickling effects that natural disasters can have on the economy. And that is a perfect segue into the next piece. As we know, Illinois is mostly an agricultural state. And when storms or droughts occur more often, these effects trickle into our economy. The United States economy produced $21 trillion in gross domestic product. GDP is the culmination of services and products that an economy produces. Illinois is an agricultural state that produces $897 billion GDP. This means changes in the climate greatly affects things like crop yields, the amount of farmers in the state, and the demand for crops. Lauren Lurkins, who is with the Illinois Farming Bureau, explains the effects that droughts and floods have on crop yields.
I mean, we're a statewide organization, so when we look at that issue, we see it all over the state of Illinois. But it can, both drought conditions and excessive rain and or flooding can cause yield implications.
This last year, northern Illinois experienced droughts, while southern Illinois experienced floods. This caused an almost equal gain and loss in crop yields. Lurkins commented on the impact of climate change for farmers.
If it impacted at such a broad scale that you had, widespread drought or widespread flooding, then you would really see issues in the raw goods, both for the farmers to put inputs, but also the end food products that they create.
There are other external factors that impact the price of food.
On a more localized level, you can see where a drought would have an impact, and or flooding would have an impact on the price of goods. It's kind of hard at this moment to figure out what the cause would be for prices to go up with, pandemic impacts as well as, maybe some weather challenges.
There's not much information on the specific changes in price due to the unpredictability of climate change and the weather in the state of Illinois.
For Bird's Eye View and WZND, I'm Gavin Broderick.
Something I dug up in my research that I didn't fit into my piece is a report given by the White House in 2019. They reported that we could see 29% decrease in the amount of corn by the end of the century.
And I don't think I really need to add much about how disastrous that would be, losing nearly a third of our corn. And that's not just an issue of having less food, but it would significantly hurt our state economy and do the same in other major corn-producing states like Iowa and Nebraska.
I definitely didn't realize how our issues and our pieces coincided, and it's interesting because a lot of people think natural disasters only associate with hurricanes or rising sea levels, but these changes can have a drastic impact on our economy and individual states, even impacting the price of our own food. So it is interesting to see how closely these topics are so interconnected. But the interesting topics do not stop there, as we have more yet to come. Stick around after the break to find out how animals are impacted by climate change and what you can do as an individual to help. You're listening to The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
The Bird's Eye View continues now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND. If you are just tuning in, this show is focusing on climate change. We have discussed everything from climate racism to the economic impact of climate change.
But one thing we have not discussed is how climate change impacts a big part of our lives, our animals.
This next piece was a real collaboration between a number of our team members. Through the help of David Moses and Eric Schweizer, we were able to speak with the director of Miller Park Zoo to figure out how or if climate change was impacting animals, even here at our local zoo.
Climate change is commonly considered an issue humans deal with. However, there are additional factors to consider, including the impact on animals. Animals across the country are facing an increased number of challenges just to survive. Intense drought, storms, heat waves, and rising sea levels can directly harm animals or destroy the places they live. Miller Park Zoo Director Jay Tetzloff said these factors also impact the animals in the zoo.
We believe that average temperatures have gone up, so we have to be aware of making sure our animals are taken care of in terms of dealing with the heat. And we've been doing that for decades, keeping sure that everybody's doing well.
Some examples include misting systems in animal facilities that reduce temperatures and protect animals from rising temperatures. During times of extreme weather, the zoo has a number of procedures and policies in place.
If we feel there's a strong thunderstorm coming or a tornado, we have animals that we will definitely bring inside. Flamingos, for example, or maybe some dangerous animals like our tiger, we'll make sure he's in the building and isn't outside. Dealing with the heat.
Tetzloff said despite continual weather changes, the zoo has not seen an impact on the animals they can house. He emphasizes climate change may be more of an issue in areas that experience more extreme weather. However, overall, he states climate has more effect on wildlife animals.
I think climate change has more of an effect on the wild animals that are out there, seeing sea levels rise and less habitat for certain species of animals that are out there that maybe are already threatened by habitat loss from other things, usually from people's actions. So I see climate change having a more of an effect on wild habitats than I do the zoo.
For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Eric Schweizer.
One thing I found interesting was that there wasn't enough change in our weather where zoos couldn't house certain animals, or at least Miller Park Zoo. But we are consistently seeing rising temperatures every summer and, a lot more rain. So I wonder if that's going to change in the future. He mentioned moving dangerous animals out of the heat, like tigers. But, is that going to change? Will they not be able to be housed, in our state? It's interesting, but mostly just my curiosity and speculation.
I do hope the zoos make the proper changes necessary. Climate change hasn't happened in a year. It's been a growing issue for a very long time, one that needs to be addressed with anticipation, not reaction. So hopefully the zoos begin housing more animals.
And for our last piece, we have addressed this a few times, but with all this dread, it is easy to feel like there's nothing we can do. But that may not be the case. WZND's Alyssa Helms spoke with a number of groups on campus about what individuals can do to help the environment in small ways.
As the effects of climate change are being seen throughout our world, country, and community in the form of various natural disasters, there is no better time to get involved with the environment and sustainability on campus. There are many opportunities on ISU's campus to get environmentally involved, including Fix It Friday, Sustainable State, SEAC, and Student Sustainability Committee. These organizations work to educate and bring awareness of environmental issues to students and the community. Senior Environmental Science major Sarah Schlinch said,
"It's definitely good to get involved and to be making those differences, because it's going to take a lot of people to educate other people who don't really understand what's going on, or to be making an impact in very welcoming ways, because the climate crisis has been very divisive. And so being part of Fix It Friday and being very service oriented, but also making those impacts in the community, it keeps me sane."
There is a need for environmental improvement, but being aware of that need can take a toll on climate activists as they experience climate dread. This dread can develop easily after the abnormal influx in natural disasters such as floods, hurricanes, and tornadoes that have occurred this past year.
I can overcome, that dread just by, being able to see the bigger picture of, hey, it sucks right now, but it doesn't always have to be like this. And a lot of that has to do on the individual levels of people and understanding that, if everybody took more responsibility, the impact that they have on their individual level, then there could be significant change that is created.
The president of Sustainable State, Senior Max Snyderman, said. Snyderman also said the impacts of the floods and storms this summer have negatively impacted the Midwest in a multitude of ways, especially in agriculture. The increase of unstable weather allows room for invasive species to take over, which is especially damaging to the Bloomington Normal area. While climate change and environmental instability have looming consequences, our community can work towards sustainability, beginning at the individual level through joining environmental organizations and eco-friendly choices. For WZND and Bird's Eye View, I'm Alyssa Helm.
Alyssa here really encapsulates everything that we've been emphasizing throughout the entire show, from the dread that Gavin mentioned earlier to the impact that these natural disasters continue to have on our communities.
Yeah, like you said, this inclement weather, as you mentioned in your piece, really can have damaging impacts to communities like Bloomington Normal. It is reassuring to know that there are groups on campus with active programs that encourage helping the community, like Fix It Friday.
I agree, Gavin. Being able to help, to have some kind of influence on an issue that's causing a lot of stress can be really good for the mind. Often one can find themselves really worried about something that they don't have much control over, and it can be really hard to manage. But these campus groups and programs are great because they not only help you, but the environment as well.
And you know, we've been fortunate enough to learn about a number of these topics through the production of the show throughout this entire month. But I feel like I learned so much about climate racism and more than I thought. And it's actually made me more curious to find out more answers to discuss, you know, to figure out what are those resources that are being allotted to these communities, if any. So I'm very interested to just keep going and learning more about this. And I didn't think I would get that.
And I've really enjoyed learning more about the kind of climate dread idea. And really how much climate change has been impacting people's mental health. I think that's something that goes so far under the radar for a lot of big issues, not just climate change, but often it's easy to forget about people's well-being when you're talking about something like climate change, where you're looking at, you know, storms and you know, landslides, things that are physical happening to the planet. But often we forget about, you know, the mind, you know, and making sure that our well-being is staying upright.
Yeah, and really something that I didn't really think about, but this – a piece really made me think about it, is the piece about zoos, and specifically my favorite zoo is the Brookfield Zoo. And there they have a polar bear. And as, you know, things heat up here, the polar bear is already out of its element. It's in a warmer climate than it usually is, and it's getting warmer and warmer here. I wonder how they are trying to acclimate to the changes in climate and trying to make the polar bear as comfortable as possible.
Well, with that, we've reached the end of today's Bird's Eye View. Throughout today's show, we broke down the IPCC report and discussed how climate change affects marginalized communities. Then we broke down how natural disasters impact our economy and animals. And finally, we reviewed some ways we can help our own community. If you missed any part of today's show, you can head over to WZND.com to listen to the full show right after this. Be sure to tune back in next month on Halloween at noon for more in-depth coverage on all the issues that matter in the Bloomington Normal community, right here on the Bird's Eye View. This is 1033 WZND.
That's it for this month's edition of the Bird's Eye View. To hear this and other past episodes of the show, find the Bird's Eye View podcast on WZND.com or in the iTunes podcast store. And as always, for up-to-the-minute award-winning local news, sports, and weather, stay tuned to 1033 WZND Fused Radio.